Envious over other people's work. keeper, over their master, over someone else going out with the brothers or sisters that we want to be with. And the scripture says it wants the bones. Someone said, envy with another joy and hates the excellence that it cannot emulate. And in Galatians chapter 5, envy is lifted on the works of the flesh. Proverbs 15, verse 27. Proverbs 15, 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. And let's see, because this is fundamentally a male problem, although there are sisters who are doing it. The husband chasing the dog creates tension and conflict, which can have a terrible effect on his wife and his children. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Business trips abroad. Set up a job. And troubles his own house with this. What will the sisters determine to pursue a career that it could live on the husband's salary, but not the style that she wants, that she can't pursue a career. She wants her independence, she wants her own money. Greedy for gain, what is trouble in the house. It's an unnecessary injection of trouble into the home. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. A thrower man throws strife, and a whisperer separating a chief friend's whispering is a very good way of ruining a friendship. Best friendships in the church can be destroyed by quiet suggestion or an accusation made behind the back. Could you say it to the face of your friend? If not, why are you saying it? What if I'm the chief of whispering? And to choose to that, we turn to Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of the talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. One of the worst cries of the brotherhood is choice of gossip. And sometimes we have to send a woman, Paul in 2 Timothy, right to Timothy, and says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Sometimes we have to say the one. But, however, let's pass the story forward. The story of judgment. People want justice, as human nature. Someone says something bad, which is not true, it hurts. So what do we do? Trying to find something in their life. The Americans call it digging for dirt. And then we go on the email. It's all over the world. The words of the tale about those wounds. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. And then that friendship is likely never to recover from the way that it is. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Another male problem, I suggest. He that argueth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. No one. The husband comes home from work, the wife has something he wants to tell him, and he's got all the things he wants to do, so he listens to half of what he says, and then just for a conclusion, well, this is what should happen. Friends in one part of my life. Whereas the wife has to go through every detail, we have to learn from this to wait until she has finished the sentence. Then think the whole thing through properly before we reply. Set walls, brothers, well, most of the time, certainly in my case, it is. He is a pastor of the matter before he begins. Which gives me examples of this. in our second and third service. Proverbs 22 and verse 10. Cast out scorn, and contention shall there out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Haven't that one right? Don't be irreverent, disrespectful person with a sinful attitude, always seeing evil, always assuming the worst. I'm trying to get them out of the situation. You don't. It'll get worse. Proverbs 25, verse 17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Yeah, there are some brothers and sisters who basically keep open house and can turn up at any time of the day and night. But there are times when even brothers and sisters like that need their privacy. In a little time together, and we need to be careful that we don't abuse the privilege that we've been granted and not call ill will. Well, there's those problems. Sharp words, pride, envy, greed, whispering, tale-bearing, not listening fully, scorning, all causes of strife. The book of Proverbs is not only telling us the causes of strife, also tells us how we can resolve the issues. Let's spend a few minutes now going back over the same chapters in Proverbs and picking up some of the solutions. Let's go back to where we start in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Remember, we read in the first part of the verse, "There is the speaking like the piercing of the sword." We thought about sharp words. What is the solution? Second part of the verse. The tongue of the wise is sharp. We have the power of choice in the tone of our voice and the words that we use when we're responding in a conflict situation. Now keep that mark in progress and turn with me to the first Christian. I find this an absolutely amazing verse. If you want something great and more, this is the time. If we could get near to this, then we wouldn't be able to. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. This is the time to remember this. Before we open our mouth, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The words that come out of our mouth should be God's words. The thoughts that those words convey should be God's thoughts. That's what the Lord Jesus did. All his life. The words that I speak are not mine, but his that sent me. Why can't we be like that? We've got all the words, 66 books up. There is no shortage of words, concepts, and ideas. When we open our hands, we should be speaking as the oracles of God. And if two brothers and a brother and a sister, difference in their conversation is not going to be any conflict. Because we will be doing exactly what the Apostle Paul exhorts us to do. That we all speak the same thing. And we will only all speak the same thing if we speak according to this word. It's when one party of the conflict starts pulling out their own fleshy arguments that leads the conflict to corrupt. So we need to speak. The oracles of God. And the light of that, back into Proverbs, Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Proverbs 15 verse 1. a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Yes, think of Abigail and David. David has been rebuffed by Nabal, and David is girded on his sword. He's got 400 men back from their sword journey, and David is going to destroy his 5,000 men. And he's coming charging down the road, and coming the other way, Abigail, on her donkey, with presents going before her, because she read her Bible. And she knew that that's what Jacob did from P.T. Saw, when he saw him thundering down the road, also from 400 men. You read Abigail's words and see how she turned David over with a soft answer. See how David rejoiced when he realized that she had, on the hand of God, kept him from shedding his blood. She did that conflict and love with soft words, with a soft answer. The most arrogant, angry people can be stopped in their tracks if we are prepared to say, I'm sorry, I've done the wrong thing. I did wrong. You have to be prepared for this. It actually is our fault. I promise the second part of the verse, grievous for us, so angry. And if it genuinely is the other person who did the wrong, then we've got to try and defuse the situation. Let me try and understand your position. Just where are you coming from? Spoken in a gentle voice, soft words. I'm not trying to wind the other person up some more. But to do that, you have got to talk to the other person. Then we go talk to someone else about it. You actually got to speak with them. Proverbs 15 and verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger ceases to strife. Some of us are born with a temper, others are not. To decrease the tension, we need to keep anger under control. We're going to look at an angry man in one of our histories. A very angry man who was faced with a conflict situation. See how he dealt with it. The main problem is simply going to walk away from the discussion while we cool down. Because if we carry on in the frame of mind we are, the conflict is only going to get worse. Perhaps Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh him stoop, but a good word maketh him glad. Our body language often reflects our mood. That someone who is heavy of heart usually looks unhappy. This can be helped by a positive attitude. A good word, says the Proverb. Positive attitude to life can change life. And good words can do this. Have a sample in our readings and in Ezra, which is turned to the portion of Ezra that we read yesterday. Ezra has come up from Babylon to Jerusalem, brought gold and silver vessels, various other things from the temple. Ezra is looking forward to getting involved in the work of the temple in Jerusalem. He's come up full of enthusiasm. But in Ezra chapter 9, we read that the princes came to him and told him about the terrible problem of intermarriage with the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and so forth. And Ezra is cast down, verse 3 of chapter 9. I heard this thing, I rent my garment, my mantle. I plucked up the hair of my head into my beard, picked one up from nearby, and pulled other people's beards out in the same problem. But Ezra is distraught and prays for verse 6. And then when he's praying, chapter 10, verse 1, he's weeping, he's casting himself down before the house of God. And all the congregation comes, they're all weeping as well. So the whole nation is country, not the floor. What's going to take them up? Well, they're just in verse 2, this wonderful man, Shechaniah, the son of Uzziah, who goes and speaks to us, and he's lying on the floor in front of the temple, weeping. Great chunks of hair pulled out of his head and his beard. God's friends, can't get much of that. And this man, Shechaniah, says, Ezra, we can't trespass against our God, and have taken strange wives, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Ezra, there is hope. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God, to put away all the wives, such as abroad of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and above the covenant of the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. This is what we must do. Look at what he says in verse 4. Arise, Ezra, get up on the floor, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Ezra, you're the principal man in this. You've got to organize it. You've got to give the lead. But we'll help you. Now get up on the floor, Ezra, because there is hope. We can get out of this situation in a godly way, according to the law. And we'll help you to do it. That's a good word. We finish it up, and the problem was solved. In your negative thoughts lead to more problems. Negativity destroys. Turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 1. See what something is Paul. Paul, as he wrote 2 Timothy, is in prison in Rome. He's had his first trial. Everybody who saw him stood there on his own. And he knew that the second trial was coming. And the verdict of the life. And he wasn't encouraged by the news he heard from the Ephesians. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. This thou knowest, that all things are in Asia, we turn away from them, of whom are quite jealous of their mockings. His friends turned on, he's feeling very lonely. Verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of the misericordious. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my shame. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Why did he have to search Paul out very diligently? Because Paul God in his empire house and the soldiers were kept. And unless Paul didn't know the address, Rome was a big city. And unless Paul spent a long time searching and asking, where is Paul the prisoner? Where is Paul the prisoner? And eventually he found him. He went to him not once, but many times. Off the pressure. He was not shaved by shame. Here the man who came before and spoke the words of him. And for the joy of the second call, the Lord endured the cross. He despised the shame. He sat down at the right hand of God. Back to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14. Proverbs 17 and verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. Leave off contention. At some point, we may need to get to the door. It's not worth the sin. Let the other person have their one contention. Leave. Make peace with the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us what we should try and do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. And that we study to be quiet. We've got to work out that some of us are naturally loud and garrulous. We may need to learn to study to be quiet, do your own business, not trying to run anybody else's life, and to work with your own hands as we can manage it. Don't meddle with strife. Back in Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18, 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and that his friend can stick him closer than a brother. To cement friendships in the equation, we've got to show friendliness. It's no good at the end of the meeting just sitting in our seats and thinking someone will come and talk to us. We've got to make the effort to go and find someone to talk to. You know, there's always someone who is in a worse situation than we are, than we can speak a good word to. Always. Remember when my dad was desperate in the hospital, and he was in a poor bed, and we got in together, and he said to me, see that man over there? He's had a stroke, he's had his speech, his wife comes to him, he can't talk to them. He said, I'm very ill, he's had a look at you. That man over there, yeah, he's had a stroke, he can't feed himself. Well, I'm not got much appetite, but he can't feed himself. Positive attitude. And you talk to their patients and how you come into their be friendly towards them. So if you're isolated with people not, show yourself friendly. And you may be harmless and people do. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 22. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Say not that I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save you. Well, another scripture puts it, avenge not myself. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will do that. That there's a great temptation for us to respond in kind. If somebody throws a bar and comes to us, and especially if we're in a quick mind, good at that too. You know, we find a double bar coming to throw back. Don't kill us. Don't avenge. So we should look at people in our sentences that are in those sort of situations and give it and see how much God bless. Well, let's look at a sample of passages from the book of Proverbs, which show to us the causes of strife and contention and some of the solutions. Can we read two Proverbs? Just look for those sort of verses. Fill it plenty more than you've looked at this afternoon. But I want to finish now by turning to the New Testament, to 1 Peter chapter 5, because there's a principle there that we want to explore. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Now, how are we going to put this into practice in your life? 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, he's going to submit yourself unto the elder, yet all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud, he saw the proud, said by pride, and also by pride cometh contention. Pride is the root of every conflict, and God resists that, says Peter, and gives grace to the proud. Humble yourself, therefore, over the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now just think for a minute, who wrote this? The Apostle Peter. As we read through the Gospels, what we find is going on constantly, the disciples are in conflict as to who is the greatest. You know, who's going to sit on the right hand of the Lord? Who's going to sit on the left? Who's the greatest amongst us? All the time through the Gospels, even in the upper room now. Humble yourself, therefore, under the right hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And this impacts very much on Ephesians a lot, because the way we organise our Ephesians differently, we don't have to do this. All of you are subject one to another. Now, we have a conflict situation in the Ephesians, you know, maybe something just as simple as, well, you know, we get the sun coming through those windows and some of them don't have power points. So, you know, how are we going to reduce the amount of light in the room? Should we have blinds or should we have curtains? You know, the Ephesians is binding, and it's not more blinds, it's not more curtains. And no one needs to do that. do. This is meeting. Some says to the presiding brother, put it to the vote. So it's put to the vote. And immediately dissatisfied minority. Because voting divides and it causes conflict in people's lives. You can look through scripture at the time when Israel went for democracy. Number 16, they wrote the Torah and said, we wrote the meeting. 1 Samuel 8, they come to Samuel and say, we want to kick off all the other nations. End of Gospels. We have your king of Caesar. Crucify that man. Give us Barabbas. It was disaster every time Israel went for democracy. Failure of violence. We have to try and find solutions to defeat problems. Not in one of these people. Let me just give you one or two examples. In Peter 8, the system on the case committee said, it really could do with the new teaching. Now, this teaching is 50 years old, it's not convenient, it's not up to you. We've only got one oven, and we can't cater for large numbers, and we're getting a bit of governance. We really would like the new teaching. So, brothers stand up and say, no, we don't need any teaching, that's hard to make a preaching. Anyway, I didn't put my money in the general fund for any teaching. That can lead to this conflict situation. And that would, of course, serious problems in the world. Some of them who decided it and solve the problem. You know what the new idea was? Look at my rebels. I'm going to take them back. Somebody wrote the kitchen book, kitchen book, but the other person attended that. And those who wanted to support the purchase of picking out the new kitchen, put money into the envelope and put it in the envelope. And as the money came in, the rewiring started to come to the plumber, and then eventually the kitchen units were built on. And the kitchen has a kitchen. And nobody's upset, because the brothers who did not want the new kitchen. Nobody came out of the system of hands. But everybody's hands. And you see who's harmonious. Government of Asia decided it needed a new law. And there was a conflict in the Arabian Brothers meeting. You know, do we want one of these and one of those? Indeed, two mouthfuls, three, one pebbles. Back and forth in the Arabian Brothers meeting. Specification for this law. What do we want? What are we going to have? And it's getting out. There was no resolution to this conflict until a wise brother spoke up and said, well, we have an idea of whether else. That is a professional business. All we've got to do is give him the money and say, brother else, go and invest all that you can for this money. That's what they did. They got the wrong. No problem. If they see, had to do a major thing back at the front. And if Peter said was an intention, he was blessed with two brethren who were professional plumbers. So, you know, job's easy. But two brethren who could design it and do all the other stuff and direct the other brothers and sisters to do the rest. But that's not how it worked out. Because the first brother said, you'll put the boiler there, and run the pipe like this, and this here and that there. The other brother said, no, the boiler was the other there. And then we run the pipes like this and so on and so forth. We can't be situation. And who's right? And who are they making the same? Because they're both professionals. Eventually, after a lot of conflict, one brother said, you know, this doesn't matter. Why would I even have to face the position of the boiler and the plumbing? Look, you just do it your way and I'll help you. It'll work. And I'll help you too. And I'll help the rest of you people to do this as well. Because that brother realized that we should all be subject to one another and clothed with humanity. 1 Corinthians 16. Have addicted themselves to the ministry of the sacraments.
Herod, Cain, Epiphanes, all those sort of things.
Here was somebody who was addicted to the ministry of the saints. It consumed them. How to help other brothers and sisters. What's the counsel of the Apostle Paul? Verse 16. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth and laboureth. So we've got a preaching committee, a special committee, a light bearers committee, whatever we call it in our nation. Yeah, and they come to meeting plans. And they grow up, and look all the things our lives have costed it, and yes, we can afford it, and they've sorted out the calls we're going to use. And all this is announced in the preaching. What do we do? Disagree? No, we don't want to preach like that, we want to do something else. Now here's a group of brothers and sisters who are worthwhile. Trying to forward the proclamation of the gospel. We should submit ourselves to what we have. And we will have prayer that God will bless us. We might not think it's the best way to preach, but pray that God will bless that word. And, you know, next year, they should go and invite us to the old preaching committee. We might have it with our own members. But, the principle in Scripture is submitting ourselves to those who work hard for the ministry of the saints, those who labour and support them and encourage them rather than opposing everything that they bring forward and propose to do. If there is good in it, you should take them. Don't let them plot to get into a conflict situation because somebody's worked hard in the truth. Couples to do something that you think you might participate in. Let us work together. Have fellowship together and do it. And maybe a little time. Look at us saying that. And do things that feel us. We prepare to submit unto others and to support those who labour in the world. Well, that's the principles. The next sister is we're going to open the Word of God. Some practical examples of people who got involved in